We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour here. Late night. Sports Radio WEI. There's still plenty of time and room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Part of our two-part discussion tonight, really. Robert Kraft, first and foremost. And really, rather than focusing in on strictly what's going to happen to him legally, because I don't think all that much will happen to him legally here. It's simply a misdemeanor charge. And rather than focusing in on what's going to happen to him from the NFL, because if we've learned one thing when it comes to discipline from the NFL, they are all over the map. It will be really irresponsible to sit here and try to figure out what Roger Goodell is going to do here. If you listen to Bart Scott, if you listen to Max Kellerman, you'd think that this team is going to be stripped of all of its draft picks. I mean, you've got guys out there literally using the term cripple the franchise. But for me, what's most important here,
I might take the entire draft from them. It has to be something that cripples the organization.
It's unbelievable to me the way that this story's going. But for me, the saddest part about this entire story is, yeah, Robert Kraft, he's made a mistake. Maybe he's made multiple mistakes here with this particular spa. But he's a guy at 77 years old that's built a legacy here in New England and a legacy throughout not only the country but the entire world. He has been a philanthropist. He's been very successful. He's been very charitable. He's a guy that, you know, you feel a certain sense of pride when you say, Robert Kraft, he owns the franchise that I root for. And now Robert Kraft, he's got a public perception problem. He's got a PR problem. He's got a people problem. So we've been sort of searching here back and forth with you guys for the last 3 hours, trying to figure out what actions Robert Kraft can take right away, today, tomorrow, the next day, to start to reverse this PR problem that he has. And you guys have had some great ideas, but, you know, here to help us sort of sort through all of this stuff, because there's a lot to sort through, is our friend, the New York Times bestselling author. He's a journalist, award-winning reporter. He's written the books called Boston Strong, The Ice Bucket Challenge. Most recently, it was 12, The Inside Story of Tom Brady's Fight for Redemption. It's Dave Wedge. And Dave, I really appreciate you staying up late. It's like 1:15 in the morning, and you're offering to come on with me. That's what friends do, Dave.
Hey, listen, I was listening anyway, Patrick. I'm happy to be on.
I appreciate it. So, if you were,
how are you, man?
I can't complain. It's been a really rocky month. You know that, but it's good to be working, and it's good to have a sort of a juicy story to bite your teeth into to distract me. You know what I mean?
Well, this is a tough one. You know, as you know, I covered the Patriots a lot when I was at the Boston Herald for 14 years. Obviously, writing the Tom Brady book, I dealt with Bob Kraft directly and Jonathan. The whole Patriots machine, this is a tough story. I mean, look, the guy, as you said, the guy made a mistake. He did some bad stuff, apparently, allegedly. But, you know, the whole what's going to happen to the franchise based on what he did is really what is up in the air right now. I mean, look at, you know, what happened to Jim Irsay. And I don't know if you talked about, who was the GM for the Dolphins that was, you know, doing some bad stuff?
I mean, there's been a few of them recently. So the Dolphins guy, and then there was Bounty Gate with the Saints. It was Jim Irsay. I mean, there's been a few issues here. But Jim Irsay, he got what, 6 games suspension and a $500,000 fine for the drug charges.
Sold the team, right?
No, Irsay didn't sell the team. It was the other guy that sold the team. But Irsay didn't sell the team. But there's been a,
I mean, you know, frankly, Patrick, the talk of, you know, forcing Robert Kraft to sell the team is crazy, to be honest with you. It's really crazy. But he definitely, you know, he's under the spotlight right now. And a lot of the fans are like, you know, whatever, Bob Kraft doing his thing, private time. He lost his wife and all that. But there's another whole faction of the fan base that I think is really not okay with what happened.
No, I agree with you there. So there's definitely two factions of the fan base. And, you know, there's the Patriots diehards where, the fact is these guys could do anything and they're not going to blink an eye at it because it's the Patriots. Then there's people that I think I fall into this category, and I hate to say it because I say this to my 8-year-old when he makes a mistake. I'm legitimately more disappointed than I am angry. If only because, yep. You know, Dave, I hate to say it like this, but a man of his means, a man of his wealth, if this was – if he wanted to not have to put the work into a relationship in order to have some physical connection with a woman, there was other ways to go about it than to do it this way and to do it so publicly.
I would agree 100%. And the other problem I have with this whole situation is that he did it twice, you know, allegedly, according to the police. He went to that same place twice. And he didn't just go there. He was driven there by his chauffeur. So that means that, like, other people in the organization knew whoever drives him around, and I'm not privy to that information, but he was driven there by his chauffeur. And, you know, to go there twice, I mean, you and I know, like, growing up on the South Shore, you know, you see these places. If you go in there one time, which I never have, I've never done anything like that in my life, but if you went into a place like has been described by law enforcement one time, and you pay for a sexual encounter, you know immediately that it is not a really, like, on-the-level place. You know that. And he went twice, okay? That's a problem, in my opinion.
Well, and I'm with you there. He went twice, and to me it was completely reckless to go the second time. It was he got pulled over the first time, and that had to be the wake-up call, and it wasn't. So one of the I find it interesting that one of the charges that gets leveled against the Patriots all the time, whether you go back to Spygate, where everybody was doing it, but everybody got warned, the Patriots' arrogance is really what led to them getting in real trouble there because they continued to do it. Deflategate, you can make the same sort of argument. And here, once again, might be an example of a certain sense of arrogance and recklessness that led to a situation that was preventable if Robert Kraft had just taken the lesson that, you know, the gods were trying to send to him when he got pulled over that first time.
Look, I don't disagree with you, Patrick. You make great points. But I think that everyone, fans included and opponents included, need to separate Deflategate and Spygate from what's happening right now. This has nothing to do with what happens on the field, has nothing to do with the way the Patriots are operated, has nothing to do with the organization. It really doesn't. This has to do with Robert Kraft's character, okay? And that's what we're talking about here, totally separate from Deflategate. Deflategate was an issue which I wrote a book about, was, you know, there was an accusation that the Patriots were cheating on the field. Spygate, accusation Patriots are cheating on the field. This is a totally different situation. You know, it's not unlike Ray Rice. This is much more in line with, like, Ray Rice, not even Bounty Gate or any of that. Like, this is totally off-the-field stuff. So it's a, you know, for the people out there that hate the Patriots and want to say, hey, look, they're cheaters, terrible, you know, terrible organization, all that stuff, this doesn't really feed into that because this is just like a character thing for someone involved in the organization, happens to be the owner. But with, you know, Spygate, Deflategate, that was on-the-field stuff. That was stuff that affected the game.
Yeah, it was. But the one thing that I will say, Dave, when it comes to Spygate and Deflategate, you've got a perception problem. So let's go all the way back to Spygate. Spygate is an issue where, you know, and he's a colleague of mine. He's a sweetheart of a guy. But John Tomasi made a mistake. And he wrote a bad article that was retracted from the Herald eventually. And everybody sort of came to the forefront and said, look, this was wrong. But if you listen to the 2001 Rams that show up each and every year at Radio Row, they continue to assume and go on the radio, go on TV, and tell this story that ultimately wasn't true, that the Patriots were down there at field level with cameras, because the perception became reality. So here we are with Robert Kraft. If Robert Kraft goes, and he may very well fight this with the world's most expensive lawyers and win, but even if he gets a not guilty, it doesn't matter. The perception is that, you know, he's out there picking up, you know, cheap hookers, for lack of a better term, that human trafficking victims. So the damage to his brand has already been done, regardless of the outcome of the case.
I agree 100%, but like I said, totally different. It's apples and oranges. Like, what you just said was, like, the Rams, which, by the way, they were out there talking about it this year on Radio Row.
Yep.
This year.
Yep.
They were out there talking about it again. They still believe that the Patriots taped their walkthrough. They still believe that, some of the guys on that team. Whatever, fine. But that is like a game situation. What you're talking about is Bob Kraft and his personal life has nothing to do with Tom Brady or Gronk or Belichick or Josh McDaniels or, you know, whoever you wrote, Mike Greer, whoever you want to bring up, has nothing to do with any of it. This is just Bob Kraft and his personal life making a allegedly terrible mistake. So people need to separate that. And I think the league needs to separate that because they are not one and the same. Okay, the Patriots got busted in Spygate. They got busted in Deflategate. They got penalized. They lost draft picks. They got fined, so on and so forth. We can, you know, argue the justification of that ad nauseum. Totally different from this. This is not strike three. This is not the organization is corrupt. This is not the Patriots are cheaters. This is Bob Kraft, you know, in his personal life, screwed up. And that's how it should be treated.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me on the phone right now is local author and New York Times best-selling author Dave Wedge. And Dave, you know, as part of, you know, your job, when you and Casey, you guys write a book, and whether it becomes a movie or not, you do the tours. I see you. I hear you on the radio with me and many other guys. You're on all the local TV shows. You're doing a PR campaign to help sort of sell your product and let the world know what you've written because you're proud of it. So from a PR perspective, in your opinion, what actions can Robert Kraft take immediately to start to change the narrative here?
Well, in my opinion, from a PR perspective, the biggest problem Bob Kraft has is that this is not a, you know, a Bob Kraft walked into a place and made a mistake problem. It's really, it's turned into a human trafficking and a sex trafficking investigation. And I think the most damaging thing that's happened is the Globe had a story the other day by Nestor Ramos about how Bob Kraft actually sits on the board of a human trafficking organization at Brandeis University. And I think that's troubling. Like, if he's involved in those sort of causes, but on the other side of the coin, he's like going and, you know, being a patron of these places where this sort of activity is allegedly going on, that's a major PR problem. So if I were Bob Kraft's, you know, PR guy, I would say, you know, you come out, you apologize. You know, I think you have to admit some sort of problem, you know, personal problem. And you have to say that, you know, you're going to do everything you can to make sure that this sort of activity is addressed. And you're going to, you know, redouble your efforts on all the boards you sit on and, you know, all the financial capital that you have at your fingertips. You're going to put that towards fighting this scourge, which is human trafficking. I haven't heard that yet. All I've heard really from the Patriots is like a complete denial, hasn't done anything illegal and that sort of thing. And so we'll see what Bob Kraft does. I will say, Patrick, from my own personal experience, like, Mr. Kraft seems to be a pretty honorable guy. So I think that, you know, he'll eventually like emerge from this and he'll take it head on and he'll address it the way that he thinks is appropriate.
One more PR sort of question for you. So this story breaks on Friday. The Grammys are this weekend, and there's Bob Kraft out there, you know, front and center, walking the red carpet at all these Oscar parties, and he's there front and center, rocking his Air Force Ones in his tuxedo, you know, looking great and being Bob Kraft. Again, if you were handling Bob Kraft, should he be out there front and center right now?
I would probably, you know, here's my thing, Patrick. I think that, like, this whole thing that happened in Jupiter, Florida, I think it's not just a Bob Kraft issue. It's an institutional issue. He's 77 years old. He is, you know, he lost his wife. He's out there. He's a public figure. He just won his sixth Super Bowl. Who is the person that should be watching what he's doing and going to these events with him? Like, you know, he's out at parties with Meek Mill, and he's at the Super Bowl parties and all that stuff. You know, someone should be kind of like his handler. So my question is, where was that handler when Bob Kraft is driving up with his chauffeur, by the way, didn't drive up by himself, according to the police. He was driven there by someone. Why is the, whoever his handler is, why is that person not speaking up and saying, hey, Mr. Kraft, maybe that's not a good idea. Let's go somewhere else. Let's talk about this. That's my problem with the whole situation. And I think that, that's a PR problem, I think, for him.
Now, escaping the Bob Kraft portion of this momentarily and just going to the grander scope of this entire issue, I live in New Hampshire. There's at least three or four Asian massage parlors within 15 minutes of my house that I can pinpoint, top of my brain right now. I know they're all over Massachusetts. I'm in Florida for work every 3 weeks. They literally line that state from Miami all the way up to Jacksonville and everywhere in between and every single strip mall. They are everywhere, Dave, and everybody knows when these things pop up. If the windows are tinted in the front, you know what's going on in the back. So if human trafficking really is this underlying problem, and essentially that's where most of these, I guess, employees, for lack of a better term, are coming from for these Asian massage parlors, how come on a local level, a state level, a federal level, how can these places continue to sprout up all across the country?
Well, because, the real person you should have on right now, Patrick, is my wife, Jessica, who is she's a columnist at the Herald. She's written some incredible articles about human trafficking and what a problem it really is.
Isn't she right next to you, Dave? Fans. Isn't she right there, right next to you? Just reach over and
she's in the next room. I'm trying to be quiet, trying not to wake her up.
I gotcha.
But the reality is this: Patriots fans want to mock it and say, "Oh, human trafficking and Bob Kraft is just going to a, place to take care of his business and not him." But the reality is these places are not, these women that were at this place, according to the authorities and according to a lot of the media that I've read about this, they were women from China who their passports were taken away. They had to earn back the fees that, the travel costs that they had to pay to come to the United States. And the way they had to pay those back was through these, alleged sexual favors that are going on at these places. Now, I think most people that know these places know that they are not on the level for the most part. We see them busted all the time. But I have talked to some of my friends in law enforcement over the past few days. And what I do know is this, Patrick, is they're very hard cases to make. Okay? Someone like Bob Kraft or any of the gentlemen who were busted in these stings, okay, which is what they are. They were caught on tape allegedly paying money for sexual favors. They're very hard cases to make, even if it's on video, and here's why. They went in there for a massage. Let's say Patrick Gilroy goes into this place down in Jupiter, Florida at the day spa. Here's $75. I'd like a massage, and he's on tape the whole time, pays money, and then after the massage, a sexual act takes place and it's caught on tape. It's still very hard to prove that Patrick paid the money for the sexual act and not for the massage. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
Patrick can say, no, I paid $75 for a massage. And you know what? She was a very nice lady. And then at the end of the massage, she, her and I hit it off and something happened. And that's really why it's a hard case to make. So law enforcement that I talked to tell me that the only way to really shut these places down is to get these women who are doing these acts to flip on the owners. And that seems to be what's happening in this whole sting. You got four places down there, and you've got all these, dozens of women who work at them, and they've arrested now six women that run these places. And you got to think that they have evidence from these people that are doing these activities turning on the women that run the places. And that's kind of how they're going to take them down. So the long-winded answer to your question is that these are hard cases to make, and it's going to be a long court battle, and Bob Kraft really probably has a good case, to be honest with you.
All right, there he is, best-selling author Dave Wedge. Dave, thanks for staying up late. Really nice job keeping your wife asleep there. Well done.
Doing my best. Hope she doesn't wake up.
There he goes, Dave Wedge. Make sure you guys check out 12, the inside story for Tom Brady's Fight for Redemption. It's available at all your major booksellers and Amazon.com, which is where I bought my copy. It is a flipping phenomenal, phenomenal book if you are a Patriots fan. It is Sports Radio WEEI. So Dave bringing us some unique insight into what's happening here with this whole Robert Kraft situation. I love the PR stuff as well. From a guy that's got to sell books, which is not an easy thing to do in today's day and age. Let's be honest about this. You know, books cannot be the best business to be in. But Dave and Casey Sherman, they write some great ones. Boston Strong turned into a great movie. The Ice Bucket Challenge, the Pete Frady story there. Another one that's going to flip into a movie. And now the 12, the inside story for Tom Brady's Fight for Redemption, following him from Deflategate through the Falcons Super Bowl. A phenomenal, phenomenal book. If you haven't read it, check it out. And that's Dave Wedge. Find him on Twitter as well. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls, talking about Robert Kraft, also continuing to mix in some Kyrie Irving and Celtics thoughts here. Again, I'm not done with that topic at all. We'll continue it later on this week. I'm not convinced if Kyrie Irving is sticking around here long term. Let's just make the assumption that everything that he's doing with the media is just him playing games. And let's assume that Danny Ainge and Kyrie, they know that Kyrie's coming back. And they know that they're going to flip the young guys to bring in Anthony Davis or maybe Kevin Durant in a sign and trade. But there will be another veteran, all-star, top 10 player here next year alongside Kyrie Irving. That's awesome if you're a Celtics fan, right? Because now you've got a two-headed monster, two top 10 players in the league. But are we confident after what we've seen through 60 games this year that Brad Stevens is capable of leading a team that is led by two superstars with elite talent and with elite egos? Talking about that and more when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It is late night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. There's still time and room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And let's get right back out to these phone calls. We'll get through as many as we can before 2 o'clock in the morning. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Cranston. Steve, you next up here on WEEI.
Steve, I got a couple issues.
Okay.
With whoever you just interviewed. But
well, that was Dave Wedge. He's written 3 best-selling books in the last few years, and he's a good guy. But what's up?
I'm not saying that he's not a good guy, but he was just throwing out all these facts about Super Bowl. That has nothing to do. We all thought Robert Kraft was a great guy, and him dropping Meek, he's trying to help Meek Mill, and they have this project that's going out there that he's donating all this money to help innocent people that are in prison and trying to get them out, all this stuff. You know what I mean? And from what I just heard, he was blaming a handler for Robert Kraft. And
well, what he was doing
to
was
stop him from doing what he wanted to do. Listen, Robert Kraft doesn't need permission from anybody.
No, but let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? In all honesty, I want to ask you one question. If let's say that, because Robert Kraft really doesn't drive himself around. So let's say that
he doesn't, because he was driven there by a 2014 Bentley and then a 2015 Bentley, two different colors.
Right, so let's just say that you were his driver. Okay, that was your job, okay. You were his driver, and you go there, and you're pulling out.
And I'm supposed to talk him out of
that? Hold on, you get pulled over.
Talk him out of that?
You get pulled over, okay? You get pulled over. And then the next morning, he says, hey, let's go do it again. You might not just give him a dirty eye or say, hey, are you sure you want to do it again to that same place? That, to me, is the one mistake that he made, was going back the next morning, Steve.
Would you listen to your driver though? Like you just said,
probably
driver.
Not.
What are you paying that guy? You're a billionaire. Listen, how many billionaires are on the planet? By the way,
not many.
You're not going to listen. That guy isn't going to influence your decision, because if it would, I mean, would you be a billionaire? Let me just say this though. Listen, and I don't think this is going to affect their legacy. I really hope that I don't even care it happens, but like to. Blaming handlers, like nobody could tell that guy what to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you that. I will give you that.
But that's why I just asked who you were just talking to, because he was like, "You should have better handlers." Like, no, like nobody can influence that guy's decision. Like, especially that one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even your driver doesn't know what's going on in there. Like, maybe he does, but like, it's like. And if he does, Pat, then it's happened way more than just in Jupiter. Because, like, oh, Jupiter, Florida. So then it's happened in more than.
Well, that's the thing.
Than just Florida.
There's no way that this was the first time. It's the first time he got caught. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but and then this is the case, though. So, like, the author that you just talked to, like, when he brought in Meek Mill, like, he was trying to help Meek Mill, but, like, to bring him in. To this story like that, it just feels like he's trying to, like, maybe he had an influence on why Bob Kraft would act this way.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like
the one thing that I'll give him.
77 and that he just lost his wife, and then the Super, like, all this stuff, like, it's no excuse to be doing that. You know what I mean?
No, it's not.
Him losing his wife has no reason for him to do stuff like that.
Nope.
Or...
Myra's been gone.
That he had.
Myra's been gone for a while. He had a young girlfriend for many years.
Yeah. And listen, and anybody knows that if he just went to a bar, I mean, he owns Foxborough. In Foxborough, he'd be fine. Pat, I'm sorry. It's been great talking to you, but
Steve,
I just
brother,
don't justify any of it.
I appreciate the phone call, man. Hey, good stuff. Thanks for staying up late with us. And look, we don't all have to agree here. You know, that's the beauty of this thing. Nobody has to agree. And I think that what Dave was trying to do is Dave's got some unique insight into the inner workings of Robert Kraft that we don't have. I mean, he wrote a book centered around Tom Brady and the Patriots organization and Deflategate, and Robert Kraft was generous with him, and he was kind with him, and he got to know him a little bit, at least better than you did, Steve, or better than I do. You know what I mean? So I like that sort of insight, and that's the thing. And I mentioned this earlier, I'll mention it again, you know, when Minahan was at his lowest moment here, you know, when he left the station, not when he left the station permanently, but when he left the station with the suicidal thoughts and had to check himself into the hospital, and really, you know, his life was in crisis mode, you know, before it turned into him going to radio.com and everything else that it went to, you know, at the moment where, you know, Kirk Minahan, you know, husband, father, employee, friend, son, all that stuff, right? That guy, when he was in crisis mode and his life was legitimately in danger of himself, the one guy that reached out to him from our four professional sports teams was Robert Kraft. And I said it before and I'll say it again. What these guys do, whether it's Robert Kraft, whether it's Whit Grousbeck, you know, whether it's Steve Pagliuca, whether it's John Henry, it doesn't make a difference. What they do in front of the cameras is one thing. They can all be sweethearts. They can all be angels. They can all be generous in front of the camera. But it's what they do when the cameras aren't rolling that really tells you who they are. So I'm not going to judge the character of Robert Kraft negatively based on this completely, based on what I know about him and based on what I know about what he does, the kind of actions that he takes when the cameras are not rolling. Because that, again, defines to me just how good a person is, just where their heart is at. And to me, Robert Kraft's heart is generally in the right place. Is he a man? Did he screw up? Absolutely. But my bigger problem here isn't did he screw up and isn't is he a man? Because those things, the answer is yes. And to me, it's a forgivable offense. But for me, it's this public perception problem that he has. At 77 years old, he's got a legacy issue now. Instead of being remembered forever as the most successful owner in NFL history, instead of being remembered as the guy that literally saved the Patriots franchise from going to St. Louis or from going to Connecticut or going somewhere else, instead of being remembered as the man that was a philanthropist and very generous with multiple charities with his millions and billions of dollars, instead of being remembered as that guy, I'm afraid that this is going to tarnish his legacy permanently. And unfortunately, in many places outside of New England, this is what he's going to be remembered for, being a dirty old man that was taking advantage of, you know, of sex traffickers, of people that were trafficked and victims of this whole situation. And to me, that's a real sin. So I'm more interested in what Robert Kraft can do, what actions he can take, what he can do starting tonight, starting tomorrow, to begin to change the narrative here and change public perception of what he is and what he's going to be remembered as someday when he is long gone. It is Sports Radio WEEI. Let's grab one more before the break here. Let's go to Joe. Joe's in Warren. Joe, you're next up here on WEEI.
Good evening, Patrick. How are you?
Good, Joe. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, you mentioned his legacy, but can I just back you up for a minute? Because, you know, I want people to realize I think what he did was wrong. But I do hear a lot of hypocrisy out there, because I would venture to bet that 25% of your callers have done something very similar to what he did. They've seen a prostitute or done something they regret.
It's a higher number than that, Joe. You're right. It's a higher number than 25%.
Hypocrisy there. And can I remind people of Tiger Woods? Here's a man who had one of the most beautiful wives in the world, and look what he did. It goes to show you that men have a problem when it comes to women and sex, obviously. And this is going to go on for years from now. And I guess I like to think that as the future goes on, people are going to look at this as a bad blip in the history of Robert Kraft. But maybe I'm wrong.
I hope you're right. But
acts like this is he's the only one. And, I mean, there's a reason why these massage parlors exist.
But, Joe, let me ask you a question.
They obviously have the clientele.
I want to keep you on the phone for a minute, but let me ask you a question. Because my issue when it comes to his legacy isn't so much the action that he took at the massage parlor. To me, that's neither here nor there. To me, it's more about thinking outside of New England. When I read these stories on Friday, before I got to the story itself, you just read the headlines, and they're all over Twitter, and they're all over Google and the internet. And each and every one of these headlines, and most people, by the way, and data will tell you this, they don't read the stories, they just read the headlines. And the headlines connected him with human trafficking. You know what I mean? They made it sound like
Sure. He
was the guy that was funding the operation. So when I talk about his legacy outside of New England, I'm talking about the fact that he is going to be associated not so much with, you know, soliciting a prostitute, but he is going to be associated with human trafficking and sex slavery, which he has no business being associated with it. But because of the way the stories were written, they were sensationalized. People that don't actually, you know, care about the facts, those people are forever going to associate him with this.
Sure, but I'd like to ask you this question, Patrick. I can speak for myself. I've made stupid decisions in my life. I haven't done what he did, but trust me, when it comes to women or in that area, I've done stupid things. And I'm pretty sure I'm not the only guy that's done stupid things in my life. Unfortunately for him, it sounds like he's got a problem in that area. And like you said, he can probably grab women left and right. But it's like if you look at Las Vegas, people can drive 2 hours out and get legal prostitution, yet they still want the street hookers, and they get arrested in Las Vegas. I mean, obviously there's an element where when it comes to that area, men don't think clearly, obviously,
yep,
and go astray. I mean, history has shown that.
Oh, I'm with you. You're 1,000% right. You know, it's right there in front of them, 2 hours away, completely legal, and don't have to worry about STDs, don't have to worry about cops, nothing. And instead they go, they pick up the street hookers. I just got back from Vegas, and you're right. They're everywhere, and that maybe it's the thrill of it. I don't know what it is. But again, Robert Kraft, he can choose his woman, and whether he wants to go choose one at a bar or whether he wants to pay for the highest-priced willing prostitute out there, he can have his choice. But he chose to do this.
I think he should be honest and admit he has a problem in that area and say he has to deal with it. And I think if he does that, he might get the sympathy of people, because I'm pretty sure most of us, you know, can understand that we're not perfect. We're all sinners here, right? None of us are perfect. And if he were to come out and just say, I have a problem in this area that I need to fix or deal with, I think he would have more sympathy. But, well, you know, time will only tell.
Joe, I appreciate the phone call, man. Great stuff. And listen, you know, I say this all the time sort of jokingly, but it's only half a joke. You know, someday when I'm retired and I've got more free time on my hands, I am planning on writing my own book. Whether it gets published or not, I don't know. But there's going to be a chapter in there that sort of talks about ages 19 to 25. And the chapter is going to be called The Dark Years. We have all made mistakes. I have made more than I care to talk about. Do I want to be judged forever based on the mistakes that I made in my early 20s? Hell no. I do not want to be judged forever based on that. That's the beauty of time. That's the beauty of having enough time to change the narrative on your own life. But when I look at Robert Kraft at 77 years old, does he have 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, 20 years? I don't know. But I hope that he does have enough time to redirect the narrative and change the narrative, or at least remind people of just how good of a person he really has been and will continue to be. I hope that we look back at this as just a mistake, a blip on the radar. But my feeling is, because it's the Patriots, because it's Spygate, because it's Deflategate, because it's this quote-unquote cheating franchise, that he will forever be associated with something more than what the story really was, because that ultimately is the history of Deflategate. Deflategate got made into being much more than it really was. Spygate was blown up to something much more than it really was. And I wouldn't expect history to treat this any different than Spygate or Deflategate. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. When we come back, we will wrap this thing up. There's still some time and room left for you at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
They continue to employ players with a very checkered past, right?
Yep.
We call it the Evil Empire for a reason, ladies and gentlemen. I hope Robert Kraft loses his job and gets booted and has to sell the team and the whole thing, because I would like to see this absolutely blow up into a nightmare for that guy. Obviously, he's the enemy. He's on the other side. They stole what was rightfully ours, and screw him. I hope he goes down over this.
This is Rick Kamla right there. He's a big NBA guy, actually. He's on NBA TV, or he used to be on NBA TV every day doing their studio shows, and now he's a Atlanta Falcons guy, and clearly he said that they stole what was theirs, and that's fine. He's bitter. There's a lot of bitter people out there, and that ultimately proves my point, is that you saw the overreaction. So you had Bart's overreaction, now you got Rick's overreaction, Max Kellerman's overreaction. And there is no way in this story, unfortunately, to nationally anyway, separate the two major points here. So on one hand, and when we talked to Dave Wedge, he sort of pointed this out. And in a perfect world, what we would be able to do is isolate Robert Kraft, the person, and his indiscretions from the New England Patriots. And one should not affect the other. So what Robert Kraft is accused of doing, if he's found guilty of it, that should have no bearing on the Patriots on the field at all. But because there is this morals clause, and because owners and team management, upper management, they're held to a higher standard than the players, there is an avenue in which the NFL could really come down hard on the Patriots and potentially do something that hurts them on the field. And that's why I've tried to stay away from that particular part of the conversation, because going back to Deflategate, we learned that Roger Goodell, he's got ultimate power here. That was reinforced by the Supreme Court. I mean, he's got the power to do whatever he wants. What was it, Article 41? I believe that's what it was, going all the way back 3 or 4 years to Deflategate. But that essentially says that he has got the ultimate power here. So he could decide that, this is only worth a Jim Irsay type of discipline, type of punishment, where Robert Kraft has to avoid the facilities and be suspended for 6 games, pay $500,000 fine and move on and be done with it, clear up and go. Or this could become something much, much worse. And I talked about this on Friday night. The pessimist in me, the fearmonger in me, thinks that the NFL may come down much harder than they really should on the Patriots franchise for the mistakes that Robert Kraft has made here. Because ultimately, when you go back and you look at the history of this thing, and you look at the way that the NFL treated the Patriots for Deflategate, which was just an equipment issue, equipment violation that the Steelers were found guilty of this year. They got a slap on the wrist. They got a warning, an equipment issue that Aaron Rodgers came right out and admitted he likes his footballs overinflated. The NFL did absolutely nothing. If Deflategate had happened to any other team than the Patriots, at most, it's a fine. It's probably just some sort of warning letter. You know, a little slap on the wrist that says, make sure that your balls are properly inflated. Instead, it turned into World War III. The Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft against the world. And the Patriots, they tried to take them down. They tried to cripple the franchise. They really did. By eliminating Tom Brady for 4 games, for most other teams in the NFL, when you eliminate their starting quarterback for a quarter of the season, you're essentially damning that franchise into missing the playoffs for at least that year. And to do that and couple that with the record-breaking fine as well as losing draft picks, they really did try to stick it to the Patriots and prematurely put an end to the Patriots dynasty. It ultimately blew up in the NFL's face. It ultimately blew up in Roger Goodell's face. And I wonder if Roger Goodell harbors any sort of ill will towards the Patriots, because everything that he tried to do, everything that he tried to do to appease all of the other owners, to ultimately punish the Patriots harder than they should have been punished, because maybe in Spygate they went easy on them, it didn't work. So I wonder, to be a fly on the wall, what it will be like if this ultimately comes down to Roger Goodell taking phone calls, listening to the other owners, if the other owners are going to maybe want to give Robert Kraft a pass here, because they know that they're not saints. They know that they shouldn't throw stones. They know that they shouldn't live in glass houses, right? Because nobody wants to see the inner secrets of their lives exposed. And for anybody that is anybody that has any kind of a conscience, you guys know that you don't want people watching, monitoring, looking into the worst parts of your life. But I don't think that the NFL owners will ultimately do that, because nobody thinks like that in today's world. Everybody thinks that they're Teflon. Everybody thinks that they're bulletproof until it happens to them. So I believe that the NFL owners, they will petition the league management. They will petition Roger Goodell to once again bring the hammer down on the Patriots and try to prematurely put an end to what this Patriots team has done. And the Patriots winning the Super Bowl this year, that just gives them more ammunition. It gives them more reason to want to bring this team down prematurely. So I know Robert Kraft has done everything in his power to make this Patriots franchise as successful as possible for as long as possible, and he should be applauded for that. There has been no better owner over the last 25 years than the Kraft family and Robert Kraft. That is a singular fact that cannot be debated. There has been no more successful franchise in the NFL than the New England Patriots under Robert Kraft's ownership. It's just a fact. But that, with all that success, breeds a lot of hate and breeds a lot of resentment, breeds a lot of jealousy. And this is just another opportunity for these other owners to maybe get their shot in here at prematurely putting an end to what this Patriots team has been able to accomplish on the field with an off-the-field issue. So it is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Really enjoyed this conversation tonight, taking a different look at it, really. You know, looking at this thing from a different perspective rather than just the NFL's punishment or what will happen to Robert Kraft legally. I'm more interested in how does he save face? How does he change the narrative? And how do we make it so we once again look at Robert Kraft and associate him with all the good things that he's done rather than this unfortunate series of incidents? Can't wait to get back here on Wednesday. I'm out of here tomorrow. Unfortunately, there'll be no late night with me tomorrow. Could be with Brian. Could be with Ben Maller. I don't know. But there'll be late night with somebody tomorrow night. I'm headed to Pennsylvania for the day. Going to fly into Baltimore, drive a couple of hours, head on down to Rite Aid's world headquarters, and sell the hell out of Christmas 2019. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'll be back here again on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. Wednesday night, we are going to have a much better indication as to what this Celtics team is. I'm looking forward to talking about that. Big, big game coming up later on tonight. Celtics in Toronto. Can they win a huge game against a division, a conference rival, on the road with the reloaded Toronto Raptors? Man, the Raptors, they picked up Jeremy Lin. They picked up Marc Gasol. And the Celtics, they continue to bitch and moan like their daily soap opera. Maybe this is the game. I've said it, I don't know, a dozen times this year. Maybe this will be the game that turns the season around for the Boston Celtics. We'll talk about it on Wednesday night when I'm back here doing late night. Big thank you goes out to Bridget behind the glass. Great job, a great Great job by her. Big thank you goes out to Dave Wedge. Thank you for staying up late. Joining us on the program, my name is Patrick Gilroy. You guys want to stay tuned. SB Nation Radio, that comes your way next. I'll talk to you guys again on Wednesday. Until then, bye-bye.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.